On Education for the Senate Special Committee on Budget for Monday, June 27, 2005. Open a work session on SB 5627. Ms. Manpage.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 5627 is the fee bill for the health-related licensing boards. Just by way of a reminder, this bill, when we refer to the health-related licensing boards, there are actually 9 separate agencies that do health-related licensing, but they are separate agencies. 3 of those agencies, Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, and the Board of Pharmacy, all increase fees to the administrative rule process during the interim. And what Senate Bill 5627 does is provides enabling legislation to approve those fee increases. Occupational Therapy Licensing Board increased fees effective July 1, 2004. They did discuss these fee increases in 2003 with their budget presentation. However, due to turnover at the executive director position, they weren't implemented, as I said, until 2004. It's the first time fees have been increased since April 1995. And the increased revenue is targeted to allow the board to contract for an investigator. Currently, the board and the executive director do the complaint investigations, and this will allow them to hire a professional investigator. The State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, as you recall from our public hearing on this agency, in 2003, they identified that they had a revenue shortfall. The solution to that, at that time, they proposed an increase to the death certificate filing fee. That increase was not approved. The agency had to reduce an investigator, but the subcommittee directed them to go back, look at their fees, and come back with a proposed licensing fee increase in order to restore the investigator position. They did that at the April 2004 emergency board meeting, and the fee increases that I've listed in the recommendation memo are the fee increases they presented to the emergency board. The State Board of Pharmacy, and I should mention, for mortuary and cemetery, the continuation of these fees is critical for their 0507 budget request. The State Board of Pharmacy created 2 new fees related to remote dispensing machines. A remote dispensing machine is part of an automated pharmacy system that contains prepackaged drugs. They established a license fee and a controlled substance registration fee. As you can see from the amount of revenue it will generate, their budget is not predicated on approval of those fees. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the fees being ratified and that Senate Bill 5627 be amended to include the state, the Board of Pharmacy increases since they went into effect after the bill in March of 2000.
Mr. Chair, are you ready for a motion?
Senator Whitsett looks like you might have a question. Am I misreading or?
Some of these fees and fee increases appear to be somewhat draconian here, particularly in the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board. For instance, pre-need salesperson is a 50% increase. Reciprocal funeral service practitioners a 320% increase, and of course the license facility location change is a 500% increase. I wonder if there's some justification for that, those rather draconian increases.
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsett, I believe the fee increases were, there was a work group established during the interim, and that members of the industry as well as the board representatives crafted this plan. And so I believe that it would, I don't have the exact reasons for why each one were increased. What I can tell you is that it was a product of a work group where the industry was represented.
Motion.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendation.
Okay, any additional discussion? This is the fee bill.
Which I understand this is the fee bill. Yeah, I need some help because I had to talk to my staff. This is 5627? Okay. Yeah, that's what my notes say. I have it. Okay. I just want to make sure it's 5626 where we're going to talk about the individual boards.
Correct.
Okay, fine.
So we'll be in work session. We won't be in
okay, that's fine. I'm okay with this one.
Mr. Chair, just one concern. I don't know if this is fact or fiction, but I'd heard that there was some conflict within the state mortuary board and some of their local folks. And after one of our hearings, and somebody on the far side of the state out in the Ontario area was thought that they were being severely punished by the state mortuary board because of some testimony they're doing. I just thought that was not called for. And I don't know if that's fact or fiction.
Well, actually, I might do this. I believe the chair of the mortuary board is here. We were going to proceed quite quickly, but if you want to come up and comment, and maybe comment on Senator Whitsitt's question about the fees in the work group, it might be helpful.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. My name is Kathy Wentz Phelps, and I'm the president of the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board. I don't know how much information you're wanting me to give. I know that you want to go along quickly. The people that are on the board, we're somewhat voluntary. We are given a little bit of a stipend, but I am a business owner of a funeral home in Portland also, for my position, what I do most of my time. There was some concerns, yes, and I have had several meetings with a representative to address these concerns, and there was a group meeting back last Thursday where I did say that I would address the concerns that were happening in the state. So I don't know all of them yet because these have just been very generically given to us, so I'm trying to address them as I can. And as for the increases for Senator Whitsitt, yes, we worked with the industry, with representatives from the Oregon Funeral Directors Association. We worked with various people trying to keep this within the industry for our fees, and we were trying to make them as what we thought as fair as possible. If you want to ask a specific question, and I may actually have to turn and look to some staffing for help on that too.
Just for instance, reciprocal funeral service practitioner or embalmer license has gone up from $50 to $160, which is a 320% increase. License facility location change, apparently there's only about 10 of those a year or whatever, but that's a 500% increase. And immediate disposition company license renewal is a 75% increase. I just out of curiosity, those seem to be... They're a little beyond the pall as far as just a license increase. I was wondering if there's some particular reason for those rather large increases.
If you'd like to bring the executive director up, that might be helpful, too.
Thank you. It would be very much.
Okay. And I think part of this reason was that, as was explained earlier, there was another bill that would have been, well, basically... kind of has been referred to somewhat as a death tax, but and since that bill didn't pass, in order to maintain the service levels that you desired in the board, you had to come up with corresponding fee increases.
We did.
Yeah. Chair Devlin, for the record, my name is David Coe. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Mortuary and Cemetery Board. Senator Whitsitt, the reasons for those increases was to establish some equity with license fees that Oregon licensees were paying. With regard to the reciprocal license, there was an inequity between what out-of-state applicants were paying relative to our own Oregon funeral directors and embalmers, and it was at the request or the suggestion of the industry licensees that this was an inequity that should be brought into balance. And I believe there were some committees in the legislature during the last session who specifically addressed issues of out-of-state people not paying the same amount of the fee burden as our own homegrown licensees. With respect to the change of location fees, that had been a ministerial sort of fee, and we realized that the same level of effort was required to do that change of location as was required for a brand new facility license. And once again, the industry and other stakeholders at the advisory group meetings decided that if there was a change of location, if it took the board the same level of effort to issue a license for a change of location, then that fee burden should be the same as an applicant who's applying for a brand new license. And if I may, Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson, the issue of retaliation is an issue of fiction, not fact.
Mr. Chair, I mean, all I know is that if I had a constituent, it wasn't my constituent, but when a constituent calls me and has that sense of perception, then perception becomes fact.
That's correct.
Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor to recommend approval of 5175 and pass this bill on to the full Senate committee. We call the roll.
Mr. Gordley?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion passes. I'll close the work session on 5627. Open a work session on 5626. Before Ms. Manthey starts, I want to say that we have actually 9 individual boards here. We will have 2 recommendations per board, and then we will vote at the end. We will vote on each of those 2 recommendations per board. Hopefully, many of them without objections, but people can vote their conscience. And then we will go to a final motion on the 9. But we'll try to proceed as expeditiously and as we possibly can. Please, Ms. Manthey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senator Devlin did a good job of describing the process, so we'll get right to it. The first board up is the Board of Examiners of Licensed Dietitians. I guess before I get to that, I will say the budget recommendation, there will be 3 components. There's the LFO recommended adjustments, which is in package 801. These are primarily technical adjustments, AG, Attorney General rate reductions, and some line item shifts. Then there are the policy packages included in the governor's recommended budget, and we'll walk through each one of those and what the legislative fiscal office recommendation is. And then there are budget notes. There are all but one of these agencies have budget notes. The good news is that most of them are all the same. And so having said that, once again, we'll start with the Board of Examiners of Licensed Dietitians. The LFO adjustment package number 801 actually increases the budget by $798. The PERS rate reduction is netted against an increase that we're recommending of $1,000. You'll see when we get to policy packages, the governor reduces budget by $5,000 based on current spending trends. I had the advantage of having a few more months of actual history and consulted with Mr. Gorzin, who decided to add back $1,000. It also, the package also includes slide item shifts, which I've detailed for you in the memo. The governor's recommended budget includes 2 policy packages. Package 090 were the reductions that I just spoke about. We're recommending approval, provided that 801 is also approved and we get to add back $1,000. Package 141 is titled Shared Client Services. And you'll see this budget, this package, excuse me, in every budget, each of the 9 agencies. House Bill 2058, which passed out of subcommittee this morning, allows these boards to get their financial services from the Department of Administrative Services rather than the Department of Human Services. There is an increased cost associated with doing so. However, it's believed that it's more appropriate and that and I don't mean to say DHS wasn't providing good services, but it is DAS's role to provide these kind of services. The other change the bill makes, it allows the agencies to benefit from the interest earnings on their cash balances. And so in some cases, the interest earnings actually pays for the increased cost. And again, you'll see this in every budget. For the dietitians, it's expected to increase their cost by about $8,700. The interest earnings are expected to be around $1,300. We recommend approval. The budget note that you see here is the same budget note you will see in 7 of the 9. This budget note, I guess it's easier to say who it won't apply to, which is the Board of Pharmacy and the Board of Mortuary and Cemetery. The purpose of this, I think you recall when we were doing subcommittee in the public hearing process, there was a little bit of conversation about consolidation of administrative functions. The executive directors of these boards came to us and said that they would like to look into developing their own plan for consolidating administrative services, and that's what the budget note does, is formalize that agreement. During the interim, they'll establish a work group, which Legislative Fiscal and DAS will be a part of that, and develop a plan. The outcome is expected is that they'll bring to a 507 a consolidated budget proposal, one budget, one presentation, one set of performance measures. I'd like to emphasize it's not a super board proposal. This is merely to consolidate the administrative functions. Currently, these same boards are co-located. They rely on informal agreements to support and back each other. This will allow them to formalize those agreements and enhance those agreements and better serve the boards. There will be a progress report to the emergency board no later than April 2006. The reason that date was chosen is because that's when we'll get to start doing budget development for 0709. Mr. Chair and members, with those adjustments, including the budget note, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends an other funds budget of $69,920, one position, 0.3 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
We have a motion to recommend approval of LFO's recommended budget for the agency.
Mr. Chair, I recommend approval of LFO's recommended budget for the agency.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion passes. Performance measures.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on to performance measures. The measures 1 through 3 are the measures submitted by the agency. Measure number 4 and number 5 are those two new standard customer service measures, and you're going to see those in every single agency as we go through this. The recommendation is that that measure number 1 be deleted and kept internally, and that measure number 3 be deleted, since it's a customer service measure, it's being replaced with the two new standard measures.
Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, again, I recommend approval of LFO's performance measure recommendation.
Any discussion? Any objection? Motion passes. Mortuary and Cemetery.
Mr. Chair and members, the next board is the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board. Excuse me. The LFO adjustment package number 801 reduces the budget by $7,069 to reflect the PERS and Attorney General rate reduction. There's also a few line items just that we discussed, and those are detailed for you in the recommendation memo. The agency has four policy packages in the governor's recommended budget. The first three are all related, and an improved in combination merely get the agency back to the current kind of status quo level that they have now. Because they increased fees administratively during the interim to solve a revenue shortfall problem, they have to reflect that revenue in a policy package. Therefore, they had to put a package together called Revenue Shortfall to show you what reductions they would have to implement should the fees not be ratified. And in this case, the board is saying they would have to reduce their two investigator positions. Even though this says it's recommended by LFO, it's based on the assumption that 171 and 172 are approved and therefore get them back to whole. The restorations are in two packages, and the reason for that is the administrative fee increase restores one, and then when the agency put the budget together, that wasn't going to be enough, and I do believe the work group, there was some understanding that the death certificate filing fee would also be increased to support board operations. So to be true to that agreement, the board put forth a second package of restoration that included death certificate filing fee, which is in Senate Bill 53. In doing the analysis on the budget, it looked to me that, like, this could be restored with or without the death certificate filing increase. And that's because the beginning balance is greater than anticipated. It'll be very tight without a doubt, but nonetheless, I think the position can be restored whether the death certificate filing fee is increased or not. I think as we move on to the budget notes, you'll also see some other things that will go into place. I think that we can help the agency move forward so that we don't have to have yet another conversation next session about fees and staffing for this particular board. The fourth and sort of real policy package is, again, the shared client services. This is their portion, or this is the impact on this particular board moving from Department of Human Services to the Department of Administrative Services. For this board, there's actually a savings. They'll save almost $14,000 by the move, and in addition, they'll benefit from $13,000 of interest income. So you can see for this particular board, it was a very prudent fiscal move. The two budget notes that I mentioned, the first budget note is geared at looking at the industry, the funeral industry now, and then looking at the makeup of the board and ensuring that there is a complete and balanced representation. The idea is that a work group, again, would be established to look at it, and then a report made to the Legislative Audit Committee no later than January 2006. The second budget note gets at the issue of fees and staffing, and what this requires is for the board to work with the Department of Administrative Services, the Legislative Fiscal Office, to look at other like entities in other states who regulate the funeral industry, look at their structure, their fee structure, as well as staffing structure, training for investigators, and compile all that and compare it to what we currently have in Oregon and report that to the Legislative Audit Committee as well. And I think the idea is that we would learn some things from that and help then craft the 05, the 07, 09, the next budget cycle, and at a minimum be able to put to rest fee structure and staffing levels for this agency. With the budget notes and the adjustments in Package 801, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends an other funds budget of $1,122,440, six positions, six FTE, and that Senate Bill 5627 be amended accordingly.
Do we have a motion to recommend approval of the budget for the agency as recommended by LFO?
Mr. Chair, before I make that motion, I am aware my staff just brought down to me an email from a Mr. Pohl, and I believe that his wife, who happens to be the mayor of the city of Clatskanie, Diane Pohl, am I saying your name correctly, is here with some concerns to express about the budget notes, particularly budget note number one. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to proceed with getting that concern at least onto record so we know what that's about.
Okay, if you'll please, we're in work session, but if you'll please come forward and address Senator Gordley's comments, and then we will get back to the budget itself.
Thank you.
And I would like, Mr. Chair, thank you very much for entertaining the question. The question is, what is your opposition to budget note number one?
Thank you, Senator Gordley, Chair Devlin, committee members. My name is Diane Bassett Pohl, P.O. Box 1022. Clatskanie, Oregon, 97016. I have been a member of the Oregon Mortuary Cemetery Board for 5.5 years, but I've been affiliated with it for 20 years, having suddenly gotten into this industry in 1984 after a disaster happened in Oregon, and it was reviewed and decided that we needed to have a better system for our mortuary cemetery industry. And one of the things that I have a problem with, I have with budget note number one, according to the statutory charge that we have in 692320, the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board has the power to adopt and enforce for the protection of the public health, safety, and welfare reasonable rules relating to the following. In the statutory charge that we have, there's no reference to the board looking at how they are representing the funeral industry. We represent the funeral industry, I believe, by making sure that the laws and rules that we have are thoroughly talked over with the industry before they're set in place, and most of our rules, in fact, come from the industry. But you know, our number one charge is for the protection of the public and for the protection of the consumer and for the protection of the citizen, and I believe to come alongside the industry and help them to come within the rules and guidelines that they help make, but make sure that everyone has an equal playing field and that all things are okay for the consumer. I can tell you from personal experience, when that gets off center, it can be very disastrous. An example is one of our investigators 3 years ago on a routine inspection saw something wrong, and the result was the uncovering of the $5 million worth of trust funds being stolen in the Medford Grants Pass area because of what we were doing, and because of our this was then turned over to other agencies, and over a 2-year period of time, the people that had put their hard-earned money in this trust were made whole by agreements that our staff worked on with other folks. This protected not only those people who, after the bankruptcy, would have been unsecured debtors, but it also, we were able to do that before it hit the news media, and the rest of the industry was impacted from that, like they were in 1984 over the Armsburg issue, of which I was a victim. And so by the rules, by us protecting the public health, safety, and welfare, I believe we automatically protect the industry, and I don't know that this needs to be addressed in a budget note. I would say that, and on budget note number 2, why do we need to look at other states? Where Oregon is on the cutting edge with our death laws and with the way they're administered, and with our being able to work with the industry like we do. I would hate to see us look at Georgia or even California with the headlines that they've had there when we have something that's stable and good. It comes under attack every once in a while, and that's okay. That's what the board's there for. Any complaints that we have, we are absolutely determined and always have been to take those to heart and to fix them. But I guess if we don't know what they are, which we didn't this time, we can't fix what we don't know about. So I hope that we're not going to be convicted and bound by these budget notes, that we will be able to, as a board, to fix them and not be bound by these budget notes, which leaves the door open, really, to weakening what we have that's worked so well since 1984. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have a follow-up question. Thank you. Mayor, there is a second part to budget note number 1, which asks that the board work with the Department of Administrative Services and Legislative Fiscal Office to quantify the types of facilities overseen by the board and the relationship of board membership to those facilities. In your remarks, you've not addressed that particular point of concern.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. The way that the board is configured right now, and I think there were some objections on the House side, the word that I heard was they wanted to reduce the board to 4 funeral directors and 1 public member. It's an 11-member board, and it's a larger board than normal. This was reviewed by the legislature in 91 and 95 and found to be because we have such a wide range. We have embalmers, we have private cemeteries, public cemeteries, funeral directors. Those folks are all, and that's why statutorily, those folks are all represented on that board. 4 members are from the public. The rest of the membership of that board are industry people, but those memberships are spread across the spectrum of the parts of the industry that are impacted. So that is the makeup of the board. There is a move afoot. With this budget note, then to reduce the number of the board and the makeup of the board down. Well, now we're going back to pre-84. That's what it was in 1984. It was changed in 85 because it wasn't working. It didn't work. It works well to have all representations, and that's what we do. And that's why the board is a little larger than normal. That is not a fiduciary concern because all we get is mileage, so it doesn't cost too much more to have 11 than it would to have 5. Did I answer your question, Senator, adequately?
You certainly did. And, Mr. Chair, I just have one additional question for the chair. The origin of the two budget notes is what?
The two co-chairs of the committee.
Which got them from someplace. Someone must have suggested the...
Well, I think...
Are those from a member? Or
they could be. I do not know specifically, but there have been a lot of discussions in the House about issues relative to the board. I think it's important to understand that the budget notes do not have the force of law. They do not change the composition of the board. I think that there basically are some parties that want to continue some of those discussions with the board during the interim. That's basically the purpose of the budget notes, and that's why they're reporting to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee has no authority to change the size of the board or to change its composition. So that's my understanding.
I think it's important to have what you have just stated, Mr. Chair, on the record as we move forward with this budget. I was around for the 1995 review that the good mayor references, serving on the Ways and Means Education Subcommittee, which at that time also heard the health licensing budgets, and so I'm not going to express opposition to the budget notes being here, but I will say that we need to just be mindful of the concerns that have been raised by the good mayor and make sure that those concerns, which come from a history of participation, the mayor's own participation with the board, but also a history that tells us where we have been, where we have come from, which was a time when there was dysfunction and the industry was, in fact, kind of in charge. And, you know, we've moved away from that, and we are... I think what we have in front of us is the opportunity to do some education of members who may not be as aware as the good mayor is, and some education of others who are interested and concerned about the issues. But I also hope, Mayor, that you hear that the budget notes don't have the force of law, but they do ask that we look at the issues, and I support looking at the issues as we move forward. And so with that said, Mr. Chair, the motion is to recommend approval of LFO's recommended budget for the agency.
It's been moved to recommend approval of the budget. Any additional discussion? Any objection?
I'll be on the
Senator Nelson objects. Motion passes. Please note that Senator Nelson objected. Performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Measures number 1 through 6 were the measures submitted by the agency. Measures 7 and 8 are the new customer service measures that have been added. The recommendation is measure 1 be deleted and kept internally, measure 4 deleted and kept internally, as well as 5 and 6. The idea behind all of these recommendations for deleting and keeping are that they are workload type measures, and in other words, that don't need to formally be reported to the legislature except on an exception basis. They are good measures for managing the agency, and that's why we recommend they be kept internally.
Is there a motion to approve the performance measures?
Mr. Chair, I recommend approval of LFO's performance measure recommendation.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the LFO recommendation on performance measures. Any additional discussion?
Mr. Chair, just to restate what was shared with us in the testimony of Mayor Pohl, who cited the statute that gives the board its charge. Their overarching charge is to enforce the protection of the public health, safety, and welfare, and the performance measures are a reflection of that charge. And again, as the discussion goes forward on the budget notes, I hope that that discussion will focus on the overall charge to this board.
Any additional discussion? Okay. Any objections to the motion? Hearing none, motion passes. Board of Naturopathic Examiners.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The Board of Naturopathic Examiners, the LFO Adjustment Package 801 reduces the budget by $2,881, again, to reflect the FERS and Attorney General rate reductions. We've also listed some line item shifts that true up the S&S line items with actual spending. The DRB includes, the governor's recommended budget includes three policy packages. The first one, number 818, is the shared client services. It's the implementation of House Bill 2058 that we've been talking about for this particular board. The costs are expected to increase a little over $13,000, and interest earnings are expected to be around $4,000. So the interest earnings do help offset a portion of this package. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval. Package 182, increase in administrative support. This package takes the board's current 0.75 FTE office specialist position in and makes it full-time 1.00 FTE. The direction or the reason for the increase is to allow the executive director then to count to concentrate on special projects for the board's researching and this will allow the clerical functions that the executive director is currently doing shift them to a more appropriate position and again improve service to the board. We recommend the package in the amount of $18,679 0.25 FTE. We've reduced the package by $136 to reflect the PERS rate reduction. The agency does have sufficient revenue to cover these costs without increasing fees. Package 183, staff, is titled Staff and Storage Space. This increases the agency's rent budget to allow them to get an additional 140 square feet of office space. We're recommending approval in the amount of $1,889, and that's because the agency's base rent budget has enough surplus in it to make up the difference. We have the budget note about administrative consolidation. With the budget note and the adjustments in package in the policy package 182, 183, and 801, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends another funds budget for this board of $384,032, two positions, two FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
Okay, is there a motion to approve LFO's budget recommendation?
Oh, yes. I thought Senator Wardley was here. Yes, Mr. Chair, I would so move.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Perez, I'll have to wait till Senator Gordley gets back. Okay. No objection. Motion passes. We will move to performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, measures number 1 through 7 are the measures submitted by the agency. Numbers 8 and 9 are the two new standard customer service measures. As you can see from the recommendation memo, we're recommending that number 1 be deleted since it's a customer service measure and replaced with the two new ones. That measure number 2, 3, 4, and 6 be deleted but kept internally.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendations on performance measures?
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there any discussion? Any objections to the motion? If none, motion passes. Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Legislative Fiscal Adjustment Package number 801 reduces this budget by $1,240 for the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions. Again, I've listed the line item shifts we'd like to see happen for you there.
The governor's recommended budget includes three policy packages. Package 191 is the shared client services package, which it's expected to increase the cost of this agency by almost $9,000. The interest earnings are approximately $3,700. We recommend approval. Package 192 is titled National Meeting Representation. This will increase the board's budget to allow them to attend their national organization's annual meeting. Right now, they only have enough limitation to attend one annual meeting, a biennium. This will allow them to go to two. As you heard from the agency, we're experiencing a decline in the number of nursing home administrators in Oregon. The national organization is taking this up as a charge, and this will allow the agency to participate at the national level and hopefully turn around the decline we're seeing in Oregon. Recommend approval. Package 193, Attorney General Legal Consultation Costs. Approval of this package will give them a little bit of needed flexibility in their AG budget, something that they've seen cost this biennium increase. We recommend approval. The budget note is the administrative consolidation budget note. Therefore, with the budget note and the adjustments that we've just discussed, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends another funds budget of $202,807, one position, one FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of the budget as presented by LFL?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Performance measures.
Mr. Chair and members, performance measures numbers 1 through 8 are submitted as submitted by the agency. Performance measures number 9 and 10 are the new standard customer service measures. The recommendation is that measure number 1 be deleted. It is a customer service measure and is now being replaced with the two new standard measures. And that measure number 3 be deleted for the agency's request. That measure number 6 be deleted and kept internally.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the performance measures?
Mr. Chair, I recommend approval of LFO's performance measure recommendation.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion is passed. Next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, next up is the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. The Legislative Fiscal Office Adjustment Package Number 801 reduces this budget by $2,138 to reflect the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions, and we make one little shift between two line items to more closely align the budget with actual spending. The governor's recommended budget includes four policy packages. First up is Package 201, Shared Client Services Package, Implementation of House Bill 2058. It's expected to increase this agency's cost by approximately $6,200. The good news is interest earnings is expected to be about $8,000, which covers the cost of the package. Package number 202 is titled Employee and Board Education. The intent behind this package was to increase expenditure limitation to allow representation at educational conferences with other jurisdictions and disciplines. The recommendation is not to approve, but not because there isn't merit to these activities. It's that we believe that there's enough expenditure limitation in the base budget to cover these costs. Package 203 is professional services. If you recall, when we talked about their fee increases, the board wanted to move away from having the executive director and board members investigate complaints. This package will allow them a bump of $8,000 so that they can contract for an investigator to investigate complaints. Package 205 has no expenditure limitation. This was simply the package to record that increased revenue associated in the fee bill, the ratification of the fees that you just approved. The budget note is the administrative consolidation plan. And with the budget note and the adjustments we just discussed, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends another funds budget for this agency of $270,166, one position, 1.25 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
Okay. Is there a motion to recommend approval of LFO's recommended budget for the agency?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on to performance measures. Measures number 1 through 4 are the agency's submitted performance measures, and 5 and number 6 are the standard customer service measures. The recommendation is that measure number 2 be deleted but kept internally.
Is there a motion to approve the performance measures?
Mr. Chair, I recommend approval of LFO's performance measure recommendation.
Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair and members, next is the State Board of Pharmacy. That Legislative Fiscal Office Adjustment Package 801 increases this agency's budget by $16,761. In addition to the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions, we're adding a line item budget for what's called all other differentials. It's in the personal services category, and the intent of this is to provide them a budget for pay line exceptions that have been approved by the Department of Administrative Services to address compression issues. There are five, it looks like, policy packages in this governor's recommended budget. The first one, 231, is titled Permanent Position and Reclass. This package does three things. The first thing is it establishes two permanent positions, and the intent of these positions is to address an increased workload associated with what we're calling high-priority issues. Examples I've listed in the memo include a foreign drug importation, the diversion of non-prescription drugs for methamphetamine production, and bioterrorism preparedness. We're recommending approval of those positions. The package also appropriately classifies two positions based on current duties and responsibilities. The Department of Administrative Services has determined that the reclassifications are warranted. And the package also increases the Attorney General budget by $50,000. This aligns the budget with historical spending. This agency has experienced an increase in Attorney General costs. Some part of that is associated with just the nature of their business. The other is that they now have two AAGs, and there's been a little bit of a training going on with that particular one, which hopefully won't continue. Our recommendation is to approve the package in the amount of $341,970 to positions. The package has been reduced for the PERS rate reduction, and we've also increased the package by $10,000 for AG, again, based on looking at their historical spending and to make sure that they have enough to get by next biennium without having to come to the emergency board for a small increase. Package 232 is titled Facility Space. The board is currently lives on the fourth floor of the Portland State Office Building, and they're in really cramped quarters right now. And as part of a multi-agency move, the board is going to move down to the first floor and occupy space that had formerly been a daycare center. This package provides $100,945 for one-time costs to move and to do some my words fail me now, to get the space ready for them. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That I want to emphasize that this is a one-time cost, that it will come out the next time around, and that we're asking that should this amount not be needed for the move, that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the difference. Because at this time, they don't really know exactly what the cost will be, and you can kind of understand that any time you're trying to do something like this and to see that far in the future and know exactly what it will cost. Again, I'd like to emphasize that they do have revenue to cover this, and they do not have to increase fees. It also provides for an increased rent associated with the increased square footage. We recommend the package be approved in the amount of $161,056. The package has been reduced slightly to adjust the rent amount. We were able to work with the Department of Administrative Services between now and when the governor's recommended budget was put together and kind of fine-tune that rent amount. Package 234 is the Shared Client Services, the implementation of House Bill 2058. It's expected to increase the cost for this board by approximately $17,000. Interest earnings are expected to be closer to $54,000. So you can see, again, for this board, it's a really good fiscal move for them. We recommend approval. Package 235 is the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, and it's associated with Senate Bill 180. We're not recommending approval of this package at this time because it doesn't appear that Senate Bill 180 is moving, but if it does and becomes law, the agency can return to the emergency board. Senate Bill 180 would authorize the agency to establish the program, and the agency has secured a $350,000 federal grant to fund it.
If, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If Senate Bill 180 does not move, not approved, what happens to the $350,000, which I am understanding is already in hand? What happens?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, it would have to be returned to federal government.
Is the legislation... Sorry, Senator Gorley.
My follow-up question was going to be, what is the level of co-chair awareness about that fact or that problem, that the funds are in jeopardy if we don't move, if we don't act?
I think they are aware, but the question I would have is the legislation necessary, since they've already received the grant?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, yes, they... This was an issue that came up last session, and one, as I understand it, one of the kind of marks against it moving forward was it didn't have funding. Mm-hmm. And so the agency went out and looked for federal grant, and now we sort of have the cart before the horse, if you will, because part of the grant requirement is that there is legislation that requires the database and designates an agency as the lead, and so, but... They did get out. They went out and got funding, so they could say we do have funding. I'm not sure from a policy standpoint where that leaves us with Senate Bill 180.
Another follow-up.
Yes.
I'm assuming that it was approval to go after the grant.
Yes.
Okay. So Senate Bill 180 now sits where, Mr. Chair?
Since it was last acted on March 15th, we could check that. It's an early date. I will, if we'll continue your line of discussions, I will find out right now.
Actually, my next conversation will be based on what we hear about the bill. But, just for the record, we need to note that this is a priority. Something that needs to happen this week. We're at ease.
Yes, Ms. Shape.
Senate Bill 180 is in the Human Services Subcommittee. It had two hearings. Its last hearing was on March 15, 2005. If it had come out of that committee, it would have had a subsequent referral to the Budget Committee. It never came out of that committee. That committee is now closed. Thus, the bill is dead unless it's pulled out by a motion from the Senate floor.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm going to suggest that we make that motion. The $350,000 are in hand. Federal funds are our funds. Those are our taxpayer dollars. We need this program. This is an example of how some things kind of slip through the cracks, or when we don't kind of fully comprehend how one piece is connected to another piece and then another piece, again, things kind of slip through the cracks. But this can't slip through the cracks. We need to surface it and move the bill and make sure that this program happens.
Understand your concern, Senator Gordley. Obviously, that's something that we'll have to take up with the Senate President, because it will have to be done from the Senate floor to move it to another committee at this point.
We have a floor session this afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anything additional, Senator Gordley?
Something else may come up.
Okay.
No doubt.
237.
Oh, I have quite a few. You see all the paperwork in front of me, but I'm just waiting for that moment that Ms. Manthe's done.
Okay, 237.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Package 237 is the International Drug Outlet Licensing. It's tied to Senate Bill 192, which seems to be in a similar state as Senate Bill 180. Senate Bill 192 would require the registration of international drug outlets delivering drugs in Oregon from other jurisdictions. The package was for $150,000 other funds. We're not recommending approval at this time because there has been no action on Senate Bill 190. I don't believe there was ever a public hearing scheduled on it. Again, if it was resurrected and it did move through the process, the agency could come to the emergency board and get the expenditure limitation.
Well, Mr. Chair, here I'm speaking as chair of the Public Safety Committee. And again, looking at what Senate Bill 192 would require, registration of international drug outlets delivering drugs in Oregon from other jurisdictions, and allowing the board to establish a fee to cover the cost of the program. This is one of those tools that we need to have in our kind of law enforcement, public safety toolbox. And again, it just wouldn't make no sense to me to allow this this piece to slip through the cracks either. So I'm raising the same concern as on the previous bill.
Mr. Chair, if I could comment, this seems to be one of the bills related to methamphetamine, and that will be the issue I'm going to be getting into about wholesale drug licenses in Oregon. And this actually is a big issue because there are 9 factories in foreign countries who make pseudoephedrine and export it to this country, among other countries. And the federal government is where that needs to be focused in terms of requiring registration on where those factories are shipping their product. And I don't, you know how long it takes to get the federal government to move on anything. So I think that's what this was attempting to get at. But I don't know anything about this bill in particular.
Well, we'll go through the final portion here, and then we'll get to Senator Walker's questions. Ms. Manthe.
Mr. Chair, one of the things I wanted to get on the record at the request of the chair of the Budget Committee is that the agency is currently working on administrative rules related to licensing wholesale drug outlets. And in particular, the rules would address the security of the entire drug distribution chain from manufacturer to the pharmacy. There was a bill, Senate Bill 1004, that was directed at doing the same thing when the board indicated they were already going to work on these administrative rules and work with the stakeholders. They agreed not to move Senate Bill 1004 with the recognition that the agency would come to the emergency room report on their rulemaking and working with stakeholders. And so I just wanted the record to reflect that the agency will be coming into the emergency board to report on their rulemaking with respect to wholesale drug outlets. There are no budget notes for this particular board. So with the adjustments in package 101 and the adjustments to the policy package, which is that we reviewed, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends an other funds budget of $3,617,864, 18 positions, and 17.5 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
We'll take a motion to recommend approval of LFO's recommended budget for the agency, then we'll go to discussion and questions.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I recommend approval of the recommended budget, LFO's recommended budget for the State Board of Pharmacy.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. I believe there are some questions. Senator Walker?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need Mr. Schnabel to come forward if he's in the room. And I do want to address the wholesaler issue. Let me start by saying I serve on the Judiciary Committee, and we have House Bill 2485 and Senate Bill 907, which are the two omnibus meth bills. House Bill 2485 deals with the prescription drugs and a single entity and multi-combo pack of drugs that contain bits of pseudoephedrine as well as other things. And Senator Witz is aware of what we've been discussing. The House passed out 2485, which makes all of these products available by prescription only, which I'm just totally opposed to for many reasons, and we don't need to get into all of those. But in the course of my questioning on June 23rd of Mr. Blake Rice, who's the immediate past president of the Board of Pharmacy, I asked him whether or not we licensed wholesalers in the state. The answer was we do, and I do have that information in front of me. And then when I asked if you track the licensees and what they do, the answer was no, that we have wholesalers operating out of garages, and we're looking at that right now. Well, I went off the deep end because I thought that was pretty outrageous. And so when I got back to my office, I contacted Ms. McLean, Karen McLean, I believe, at the Board of Pharmacy, and asked her about that. She, in turn, wrote back to me, and I have so many papers here. She wrote back to me and explained that Senate Bill 1004 was introduced this session. I do have that here, as Ms. Manthe indicated, that there was not going to be, she thought it was a budget note, but apparently it's not a budget note. They're merely working on administrative rules. So I really want some more discussion about that. I want Mr. Schnabel to talk to us about what they're doing by administrative rule, because frankly, Mr. Chair, this is the area where you get at the distribution of these drugs. You don't penalize the consumer who wakes up in the middle of the night and finds out that they've got a severe allergic reaction, or they're in dire need of decongestion and they have to go call their doctor or the emergency room to get these drugs. I think it's ludicrous. The way to approach this is from the front end, from the distribution end, from the factories overseas, from the wholesalers here in the state, and at the drugstore. So I want Mr. Schnabel to address how they are, what they're looking at with the administrative rules, and why is it that in the wholesaler license they may deny an application to someone who has a federal or state criminal record, but there's not an outright denial. So those are kind of my issues. And do you actually let people operate out of garages, and how do you follow up on that? So that's quite a bit, but I bet you can follow all that.
Senator Walker, if he can respond to those items, and also keeping some reference in those items to the board, its capabilities, and the budget that we are about to approve for it, then
I think you can do that.
Appropriate.
And those all are, Mr. Chair, because it's not a budget note, but it's a request to come before the e-board. So I just want to know what that request is.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Walker, members of the committee, I'm a little confused as to, you know, what the question is or what the e-board request is. There are a lot of questions on the table, and you want to...
Well, let me ask it pretty simply, so, and then we'll just get more complex. The first question is, what is the Board of Pharmacy doing about administrative rules with regard to wholesale pharmacies? We'll start with that one. And what is, and because it's my understanding you're doing something and you're bringing it back to the e-board that's relevant to the discussion of this committee.
Oh, okay.
If you are bringing it to the e-board, there must be a fiscal impact. Part of that discussion.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, I see the connection on why I was confused. We do register wholesale drug outlets currently under the administrative rules. It's 855 section 065, and I think Senator Walker, you got a copy of that section.
I do.
That's what
they're in the right section.
Karen McLean sent to you. We register those outlets. We require certain certain information from them. We have some minimum standards that they have to comply with. In regards to past President Rice's comments, I was not there to hear, so I don't know the context of the conversation, but I will say that none of our licensees are operating out of their garages, and I think he may have been referring to some stories that have been parts of the discussion about some illegal operations who were functioning as wholesalers, and those were in the context of pseudoephedrine sales, and I think that's why it came up in the context of that hearing. We have had some individuals who were providing large quantities of pseudoephedrine to our non-prescription drug outlets, functioning as a wholesaler would function, but they weren't licensees. They were illegal operations who were essentially smuggling the stuff. I remember one case in Portland where we were given a tip on the it was a convenience store, one of our registered non-prescription drug outlets, where supposedly cases of pseudoephedrine were being sold out the back door, and somebody would back their car up and they'd get it and drive away. We investigated that individual and found, you know, numerous irregularities, and a brother bought the store from another brother and didn't fill out the papers, so nobody knew who really owned it. So they were violating our registration requirements. We pulled their registration, and the pseudoephedrine sales issue was turned over to the DEA. The pseudoephedrine is under DEA regulations as a List 1 chemical, and those wholesalers have reporting requirements for quantity sales like that. So that piece went to the DEA. But as in terms of the question about whether our wholesalers operate out of their garage or somehow inappropriately, if we discover that, we have that set of rules that you have seen that could be a violation, then we can jerk that license, revoke that license, or refuse to issue a renewal if they're violating the regulations.
Mr. Chair, can I continue?
Yes.
Mr. Schnabel, could you just tell me why, what it is you're going to be doing in the interim that you're going to be coming to the e-board and asking for money for with regard to drafting administrative rules? What are your administrative rules going to be doing?
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, we aren't planning to come to the e-board and ask for money. What happened was the board is in the process of writing administrative rules currently. And Senate Bill, or House Bill 1004.
It's Senate Bill 1004.
Senate Bill 1004 is also related to the licensing of prescription wholesalers. And so it was negotiated somehow through that process that bill would be sort of tabled or sidelined or not adopted if the Board of Pharmacy continued that process and continue that process in conjunction with wholesalers, with the industry, and finish their rules regulation. And what I understand is that we would be asked to report to the emergency board on that process, not to come and ask for money to complete the process.
Okay. Do you have a timeline on that process?
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, I wish we did, but we have identified stakeholders. We have had meetings with them. We have a significant amount of language completed, so we're over halfway. But in terms of, you know, how often or how soon, how quickly people can meet, I don't know. But it could be a matter of months. I hesitate to put a timeline on it because I'm always surprised when I try to. But we are significantly down the path in developing rules that are acceptable to the board and to the industry.
Could I ask another question? Mr. Schnabel, do you allow wholesalers to sell directly to consumers?
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, no, wholesalers are not allowed to sell directly to consumers.
Okay. Why isn't this this is not in a budget note because they're not requiring any money? From the e-board, they're just coming back and reporting. And why are they reporting to the e-board? Do you know that, Ms. Manthe?
Mr. Chair?
I don't understand why they're doing it to the e-board and not a policy committee.
Senator Walker, originally the budget note was proposed. It wasn't a fiscal matter, and therefore it really couldn't be a budget note. But it was of interest that there be a loop back to this body about what was going on with respect to wholesaler licensing. I can't, your point's a good one about why it's the emergency board and not the substantive committee, and I don't have an answer to that.
Well, it's not written in a budget note anywhere. It's not written in stone anywhere, so I think I'm just going to make the request.
Okay.
It'll be done that way, and Senator Schrader is the sole sponsor of Senate Bill 1004, and so I will have a deep, long discussion with Senator Schrader about this issue because I'm very concerned about it, and I don't want it to take months either because we need to start addressing this issue. Well, Washington State's already done it. They did a good job. and I think Oregon needs to get on the ball.
With that, there is a motion on the floor. Thank you very much. There is a motion on the floor to approve the agency's budget. Any additional discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Performance measures number 1 through 8 are the measures submitted by the agency. Measures number 9 and number 10 are the new standard customer service measures. The recommendation is that measure number 5 be deleted but kept internally. The same recommendation for number 6 and number 8. Number 7 is a customer service measure, so the recommendation is that it be deleted since we're adding 2 new customer service measures.
Is there a motion to approve the performance measures?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
It's been a move to approve the performance measures for the Board of Pharmacy. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, motion passes. Board of Radiologic Technology.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I almost am afraid to go forward. But the Board of Radiologic Technology, the LFO adjustment package number 801, reduces the budget by $1,964 to reflect the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions. We also have a few line item shifts that are detailed for you there. The governor's recommended budget includes 4 policy packages. The first one will sound familiar to you. Package 261 is shared client services. It indicates that the costs for this agency are expected to increase by about $10,000 as they move from DHS to DAS. They'll also benefit from approximately $4,700 in interest earnings. We recommend approval of the package. Package 263 is titled Safety LEDS Funding. This provides the agency with expenditure limitation to purchase software so that they can enhance their LEDS check capability. They'll be able to check all initial and renewal applications and believe it'll enhance public safety. The majority of this package is one time, so you see it come out next time, and the only ongoing costs are about $180 annually. Recommend approval. Package 265 is a customer service enhancement. It increases the board's existing 0.50 FTE clerical position to full time. This will allow the agency to shift its reliance on temporary services and unpaid overtime by the executive director. There is sufficient revenue to cover the cost of this package. I would note that my recommendation memo has a typographical error. We recommend approval of the package as 40,340 and 0.5 FTE, not 0.55 FTE as indicated in the memo. Apologize for that. We've reduced the package by $226 to reflect the PERS rate reduction. Package 266 increases the agency's budget for attorney general services. The amount of the package is $13,609. This really doesn't reflect an increase, if you will, in attorney general services. It simply gets the line item to where it should be, as I've indicated in the memo. Historically, the last 3 biennia, they've averaged $18,000 per biennia, and their base budget is $6,800. The budget note for the board is the consolidation administrative consolidation budget note. What I would also like to reflect for the record is you may recall during their public hearing they identified what they called 3 modalities that aren't currently being regulated. And those were the nuclear medicine certified technologists, the magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, and the ultrasound and laser technologists. One of the examples they gave of potential problems from these not being regulated were that ultrasound was being used to produce fetal images for quality rather than diagnostic value, that unlicensed ultrasound operators were exposing fetuses to unnecessary focused energy to improve facial images, and that MRI equipment had been used incorrectly, resulting in serious burns. I think there was a lot of discussion at the subcommittee level, and I think next time you'll see the board bring forward some proposed legislation to incorporate these modalities into their regulation arena. Having said that, with the budget note and the adjustments outlined in Package 101 and the one adjustment to the Customer Service Enhancement Package, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends another fund budget for this agency of $469,429, 3 positions, 3 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
Is there a motion to approve the LFO recommendation for the budget?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion? Senator Whitson.
Just one question on the regulations on the MRI and filter sonography and so forth. Why the delay on that? You know, there's some history there. Years ago, when some of us were young, we had fluoroscopes in department stores that used to fry the little toenails, because no one, I mean, a fluoroscope is a constantly running radiographic machine that puts out unacceptable levels of radiography. I know that when we started doing sonographic images of babies in pregnant mothers in department stores, we are a little outside of medical practice, and I think that's something that should be looked at quickly, not down the line.
I don't remember a fluoroscope in my drugstore.
You're just a kid, though.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to approve the budget for the Board of Radiological Technology. Any additional discussions? Any objections? Motion passes. Performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Performance measures number 1-7 are the measures submitted by the agency. Measures number 8 and 9 are the new standard customer service measures that we're adding. The recommendation is only that measure number 5 be deleted and kept internally.
Is there a motion to approve the performance measures?
So moved.
Then moved to approve the performance measures for the Board of Radiology Technology. All those, are there any objections? Any discussion? Hearing none, motion passes. Board of Examiners of Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Legislative Fiscal Office Adjustment Package 801 reduces this budget by $1,040 to reflect the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions, and it shifts the line items that I've listed for you in the memo. There are 4 policy packages in this governor's recommended budget. 281 is a revenue-only impact, and it's titled Funding Critical Work. There is House Bill 2065 that passed out of subcommittee this morning. In addition to several other changes to the regulation statutes for this agency, it also removes the fees for the agency out of statute and allows them to set them administratively. And the board has indicated that they will, during the next biennium, increase fees administratively. I've listed those for you in the memo. The budget is predicated on the increased revenue associated with those fees, which is why it's listed for you here. Package 282 is the shared client services package. It is expected to increase this board's cost by about approximately $6,000, and interest earned, it looks like it'll be around $3,000, so roughly half of the package will be covered by increased revenue. We recommend approval. Package 283 is an administrative support increase package. I think if I could refer you back to the front page of the memo, you see that the current staffing level for this board is 2 positions, 0.85 FTE. I can't imagine that they've gotten this far with just that little amount of staffing, so increasing the 0.25 clerical person up to 0.8 FTE seems like a good idea. They've cited increased workload, continuing education requirements, and licensee communication as all reasons needed to increase that position. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval at a reduced amount to reflect the PERS rate reduction. The recommended package amount is $59,598 and 0.55 FTE.
My analysis of that, Mr. Chair, Mr. Manthi, would be they've been able to do that because they ask more of their employees and pay less, and, you know, it's just the nature of what's happening in America, and that's my soapbox for today.
Package 284 increases the budget for Attorney General services, and this mirrors the, you may recall that this agency had a current biennium request before you when that was approved in the supplemental bill. They were experiencing increased Attorney General fees this biennium, and this simply mirrors that so that they can carry that amount into 0507. The budget note included in this agency is the consolidation, the administrative consolidation budget note.
So with that budget note and the adjustments that we just talked about, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends another funds budget of $235,776, two positions and 1.4 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
Is there a motion to approve the budget recommendation from LFO for the Board of Examiners of Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
It's been moved. Any additional discussion? Any objections?
Only, Mr. Chair, I would like to recognize that LFO staff does more for less as well. We require them to work very hard in this situation now that Ways and Means is separated.
Thank you very much, Senator.
I would just note that it's approximately $60,000 for a half-time employee. It seems to be quite a lot. Obviously, that employee is not going to receive $120,000 a year, so there must be a little baggage coming along with that employee.
Right. Well, it would be half-time for 2 years, but it's still...
It's still more than you make, Senator Whitsitt. But, you know, that's a given.
More than I've ever paid for a clerical assistant.
Okay, with
only cheap or whatever.
Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, motion passes. Performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Measures 1 through 3 are the measures submitted by the agency, and you could probably repeat this with me. Measures 4 and 5 are the standard customer service measures, and it's not an error. I have no recommended changes to the performance measures. So,
is there a motion to approve the performance measures as recommended by LFO?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would just like to note and commend the agency for being very explicit in stating its agency goals as goal number one, to better serve minorities in speech, language, pathology, and audiology in the profession by first collecting data about licensees. And that collection of data is a requirement, as you will all recall, under Senate Bill 786, which is our attempt to get to universal access to high-quality health care for all Oregonians, regardless of their racial, ethnic, or cultural background. So again, this is commending them for being very explicit and stating it as their top goal.
Concur with your comments, Senator Gordley. Any additional discussion on the performance measures? Any objections to the performance measures? Hearing none, motion passes. Ninth of nine, yes. Veterinary Medical Examiner Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. You are correct. This is our last
Not
one.
Just for the sake of one of our members here, the ninth, that doesn't mean they're in any sense ranked in priority order.
They're in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Exactly. No favoritism. All right. The Legislative Fiscal Office Adjustment Package 801 reduces this budget by $3,693 to reflect the PERS and Attorney General rate reductions and also shifts those line items that I've listed for you in the memo. There's only one policy package in the Governor's recommended budget, and that is the Shared Client Services Package to implement House Bill 2058. That is expected to increase the agency's cost by a little over $12,000, and the good news is that interest income is expected to be closer to $16,000, so it covers the cost. There is one budget note, and that's the consolidated administration consolidation budget note, and that we've discussed. With the budget note and package 801, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends another funds budget of $514,282, three positions, 2.25 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5626 be amended accordingly.
Is there a motion to approve the budget as recommended by LFO?
So moved.
Any discussion of the motion? Senator Whitsitt.
Mr. Chair, just I would like to point out that my veterinary colleagues are able to perform this service at only a 7% biennial increase, and that their interest earnings on their ending balance more than surpass DAS DHS shift. Is what management is about. Thank you.
I think the Senate co-chair might concur with you on that.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
I just was noticing on the budget note, it looks like seven of these nine want to look at administrative consolidation. I'm assuming that the Board of Pharmacy and the Mortuary Board are not looking at that because they're larger agencies, and the Veterinary Board is much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
As all of these others are. Okay.
That's correct. And the want is probably appropriate at this course. There was a time when we might have been considering merging them all together, not changing the board structure, but in terms of the administrative support, and they've come forward and asked to work on it and present us a proposal to merge the administrative structure. So that's where we're at right now. Okay, we're on the budget, right? We've got a motion. Any additional discussion? All those in... Okay, we have a motion on the table. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, motion passes. Performance measures.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, one last time. Performance measures number 1 through 5 are submitted by the agency. Number 6 and 7 are the two new standard customer service measures. And even though it looks like maybe I took it out on this board, what I didn't do in the previous one, the recommendation is that measure number 1 and 4 be deleted but kept internally. Measure number 2, the agency requested it be deleted, and we recommend approval of that. And number 3 is the customer service measure, and since we're adding 2, the recommendation is that one be deleted.
Is there a motion to approve the performance measures?
Mr. Chair, I recommend approval of LFO's performance measure recommendation.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Is there a motion to recommend for approval SB 5626 to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion? Any objection? Motion passes. I will carry SB 5626 to the full and to the floor. Senator Gordley, will you carry, let's see, the budget number here is 5627.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I would also like unanimous consent to cast a vote on Senate Bill 5626, Board of Naturopathic Examiners. I was out of the room.
Oh, okay.
On that vote.
On both probably the budget and the performance measures.
Yes.
Correct. Is there any objection? What would your vote, what is your vote for both of those?
Aye.
Please note that for the record. And for any votes that Senator Nelson was not here, he is excused. And with that, thank you, Ms. Manthe.
Thank you.
This may be the end of dealing with these budgets this session. The work session for 5626 is closed. And I should note a couple of things for the record. Tomorrow we will have the budget for OHSU. I'm trying to get the recommendations to you by tomorrow morning, maybe even by this afternoon. We will also have the State Mediation Board. And as we were coming into the hearing room today, right before that, I was notified by the Senate President's staff, that I should stand by for potential meetings Wednesday and or Thursday evening.
Evening?
Yes. Well, meaning 5:30 or 6 o'clock. Evening.
Please.
With that, we are adjourned.